Chapter 12. I love you, I love you, I love you. It was still dark when Simon and I ran out to the car. As he drove, I told him a little about Father and the plan that Thomas and I had. After that, Simon was silent for a while.
"Did you know about Rose's feelings for me?" he said.
I didn't know how to reply.
"Forget it," he said.
"I need to hear it from her." It felt strange driving through the sleeping villages. Slowly, the sky grew lighter, and I could smell the sea. Finally, we reached the village and found its only hotel. A woman showed us the book of names, but Rose's wasn't there.
"She might be at the Swan," the woman said. "It's not really a hotel, but they do take one or two people."
I remembered it from the day of the picnic, a small pub down by the sea, about a mile away. We drove along by the sea, which was golden in the sunlight. Simon stopped the car just outside the front door of the Swan. A window was open, and the sound of a girl singing came down to us.
"It's Rose," I said quietly.
This was followed by a man's voice.
"Good morning," it said. "Are you ready to come out and swim?"
The next moment, Simon was starting the car.
"What does it mean?" I said. "That was Neil, but she hates him, and he hates her."
"It doesn't look like it, does it?" said Simon.
"I knew that he liked her at the beginning, but then he decided that she only wanted my money. I've been worried for weeks, but I thought that things might change after we married. I never knew that she was in love with Neil, or that he was in love with her. This isn't like Neil."
"And it isn't like Rose," I replied.
As we drove away, I finally realized something. I could never be as important to Simon as Rose was. I knew it from watching his face as he heard her singing. And when he talked about her without being angry or hateful. But mostly, I felt it inside. Maybe because seeing someone that you love in pain can teach you more than your own pain ever can. I just wanted to give her back to him. Now it's October, and it's a beautiful afternoon. I had a letter from Rose this morning. She and Neil drove across America and are now in California at the ranch. She's very happy. I only saw her alone once before she went to America. We all went up to London, and Neil and Rose had to explain about running away together to Mrs. Cotton and Simon. Later that day, Rose and I were alone, and I was helping her put her clothes in a suitcase. She explained to me, "Stephen went to Neil's hotel and told him, Rose isn't in love with Simon. He said it for you, not me, because you love Simon."
"But how did Stephen know that Neil had feelings for you?" I asked.
Rose laughed.
"Do you remember the night when everyone thought that I was a bear and I hit Neil? After he carried me across the field, he put me down and said, 'This is for hitting me.' And he kissed me, and Stephen saw. But I became angry after you told me about the conversation by the barn. Also, he wasn't the rich one. And when Simon kissed me, that was a bit wonderful too. But not for long."
Oh, my dear Stephen, how can I ever pay you back? But the happiness that you wanted for me will never be mine. Topaz let Father out of the tower as soon as she found him. She was very angry with us at first, but she seems to understand now. And Father has begun writing another book, and will get a lot of money for it when it's ready. It's something very new and very clever about how children learn to read, and starts with "The cat sat on the mat." Topaz, who is now much happier, has tried to explain it, but I don't find her words very helpful. The one person who can help explain, of course, is Simon, who comes to see Father every day. I try not to see him. I don't want him to think that I'm running after him. But shall I try to see him today? No, I'll wait until tomorrow. Oh, but it's too late. I've just looked down and seen him standing in the courtyard. He waved to me, and now he's coming up. "I've come to say goodbye," Simon said, sitting next to me.
"I'm going back to America. The castle will be boring for you this winter. Or will you go to college?"
I shook my head. "I only want to write. I'm going to train as a writer's secretary while I learn." He laughed at that.
"You're wonderful. Sometimes so old, and sometimes so young. I'd love to take you to America."
For a second, I thought that it was just a joke. But then he said,
"Would you want to come, Cassandra?"
And I thought, if I say yes, he'll ask me to marry him. And I couldn't do it. But it took me until now to understand why not. So I said, "I need to learn to be a writer first." And he replied,
"Oh, you clever young woman."
"But Simon, you know that I'd love to come to America when the time is, well, right." He took my hand and kissed it.
"I'll report on that when I come back."
Then he quickly walked down from the mound. As his car drove along the road, a wind came up from behind the trees. I didn't make a mistake when I said no. I know that when he asked me to go to America, it was without thinking. It was just like when he kissed me. He doesn't love me like he loves Rose. It's not enough for me. There's a light in the kitchen. Topaz is there. I'll go and have a much better tea than I did this time last year. "When I come back," Simon said. There are no pages left in the journal now, just the sides to write on. "I love you. I love you. I love you." Penguin Readers. I Capture the Castle. Dodie Smith. Level 4. Retold by Anna Truin. Illustrated by Guy Harvey. Series Editor, Sorrel Pitts. Read by Jenny Bryce. Copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2025.